Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer. This week's episode is called Campus Safety. It's about more than educational campuses. With all of the focus that's surrounded gun policy, school safety, and other issues in the aftermath of some of the nation's deadliest shootings in the last year, this is an issue that remains relevant. The discussion you're about to hear was moderated by Andy Downs, director of the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics, and a friend of the station. This conversation was recorded prior to the events in Noblesville, so none of the panelists will reference the events there specifically. Nonetheless, there's much to discuss. And the next voice you will hear is Andy Downs introducing the panel. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Campus Safety. It's about more than educational campuses. My name's Andy Downs. I'm the moderator of this event. I want to thank the Helmke Library for letting us record this in the first floor. I also want to thank College TV for recording it and WBOI for making it available via radio. This is actually brought to you by the American Democracy Project, and I'm very happy to have with me as guests, starting on the far end, Tom Rhodes, who is the Corporate Director of Public Safety for Parkview Health, also a retiree of the Fort Wayne Police Department.
Right.
Next to him is Julie Yunker, who I always refer to as the former Chief of Police here at IPFW, but I should point out that she now works for Fight Crime, Invest in Kids, which is a national organization basically training police officers in community-oriented policing, focusing on children. And then finally, last but not least, Deputy Chief with the Fort Wayne Police Department, Jim Fiesel. Thank you all very much for joining us today. The title of the discussion is Campus Safety. It's about more than educational campuses. Every organization really should be thinking about safety. Are there certain characteristics that you use to define safety when you're thinking about organizations? We'll start with Tom.
Sure. Coming from the healthcare environment, we have to think of our demographics, who we're serving, our customers, the atmosphere where we're meeting our customers' needs. And certainly in the healthcare environment, it creates some interesting challenges to securing our patients, our staff, and our visitors. So I think beginning first off is, who are you serving? What is your customer base? And what are identifying those risks that you may face within your organization?
Mm-hmm. Julie?
And for me, campus is also a place where we do business or work every single day. For me, campus is a little bit more difficult to secure when there are many things going on, when it's a larger area with many buildings or many different kind of stakeholders and many different things going on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
And I know it's more than just in an academic setting. 24% of violent attacks occur in the academic setting. 52 of them actually occur in the corporate arena. 13% occur in open areas, malls, parks, things of that nature. Everybody really has to take a role in this, whether it's the employees, the staff, the students, the visitors at the hospitals. They all have to be aware of their surroundings at all times. Unfortunately, we live in that kind of climate. They have to know what their escape routes are. They have to know how to get out of a danger area if they're confronted in a, like say, an active shooter type situation. And Tom faces some really major problems when it comes to staffing and the ratio to patients. If there is a critical incident, an attack on a hospital, sometimes they may have to make that decision to lock down patients rather than evacuate them because they are unable to be moved.
Right.
And Tom, you're interesting in that it's all Parkview Health, and so that's how many hospital campuses?
We cover 11 campuses.
11 campuses plus the doctor offices that are their own. And so you really have to be thinking about it in terms of an individual practice office as well as like PRMC.
We do, but certainly we don't have the staff to cover all of those locations. So our relationships with our local law enforcement is really critical to helping us secure our staff and patients when they're really outside the hospital environment to our local physician offices and so mm-hmm. forth. So certainly building those relationships is a big step in securing our campuses.
If you had to define safety, how would you define it? And a lot of people, they'll think gun crime or violent crime, but how do you define safety if you're thinking of a definition of it? Julie?
I think safety is a broader concept, obviously, than just gun violence. It's things like fire safety, safety around the people that you're around every single day. The definition of safety, I think, is pretty broad, and it depends on where you are and what you're doing.
In fact, while you were here, you and I managed to work on a committee together.
We
actually planned a tornado drill and those sorts of things.
And a fire drill.
And a fire drill, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that safety is a very broad concept. Mm-hmm. It is about being safe. Mm-hmm. Jim?
I think it's pretty much putting measures in place to protect the people in the grounds from a violent act, whether it's weather-related, whether it's a shooting, whether it's fire. I know a lot of times people say, in a shooting situation, you'll pull the fire alarm. That's how you alert everybody. Well, that's the last thing you want to do, because then it brings everybody out in the open, so you don't want to see that happen. Mm-hmm. But I think it's basically just putting together those measures to make sure that everybody on the campuses are safe.
Mm-hmm. What sort of daily activities do you think about when someone says campus safety? What sort of daily activities? Julie, you said that you think about places that are open on a daily basis.
Right.
What are you thinking about?
I think even in terms of smaller places where anybody might be every single day. So for example, at a hair salon, that's an area where we have beauticians that are there every single day. They have customers that come in and out, and they need to be aware of their safety and the ways in which they can evacuate or take the appropriate measures if something happens, something dangerous happens. So it's so much more broad than a large area. It can also be the smallest of areas.
And in the case of beauty salon, for example, we're talking about chemicals,
right.
We're talking about electrical issues, we're talking about just outright safety as well,
right.
I mean, in terms of violent acts.
Right.
What sort of daily activities grab your attention, Jim?
Actually, everything today brings concerns. I mean, we can't take the attitude anymore that this will never happen here, because it can happen anywhere. And I'm basically stressing my safety concerns on violent crimes. Mm-hmm. There was the McKinney Police Department in McKinney, Texas. They took assault from an armed gunman from the outside of the building.
Right.
There's been reports of a Mother's Day parade in New Orleans where there was an active shooter involved in that. And then thirdly, the Kansas City Mall shooting, where an individual went in and just started shooting at random, and people just stood there not being aware of their surroundings and how they could get out of there.
Mm-hmm. I was mentioning to Tom before we started this that I was proctoring an exam for somebody, and I asked the students what they would do in that classroom, which is sort of killing time before the event began or before the exam began. And they actually had thought about it. They actually knew mm-hmm. what they would do, and it is, they said, it's what they've been doing since they were in middle school mm-hmm. even. So Tom, mm-hmm. given the complexity of Parkview Health, what sort of daily activities get your attention?
Well,
than all of them.
Yeah. I was going to say, kind of along Jim's lines, really everything we do. Certainly the interaction we have in our emergency departments. Again, what kind of rises to the top are those felonious crimes that are committed in the community, and then the patients come to our emergency department. The concern that the perpetrator, if they're not apprehended at the time, may come to the hospital to finish the job. So we certainly have lockdown procedures and measures in place to secure our staff and patients when that occurs. You know, you think of a family birthing center, something that most of us would think is a joyful time. It's also where families are coming together, and sometimes those family dynamics don't get along, right. Creates concerns, the concern of infants being abducted. Something that was new to me was the fact that healthcare leads all industries in workplace violence incidents.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I stress to folks that just because it's workplace violence doesn't mean it's criminal. So it could be patients who are coming out of anesthesia or suffering from dementia or mental health.
Okay.
Still is a violent situation that can result in injuries or death. So there's really a wide range of factors that we have to consider on a daily basis when it comes to the safety of our staff as well as our patients and visitors.
And that's still, we've been talking primarily about violent acts, mm-hmm. but you get involved in some other activities, for example, major fire, chemical spill, those sorts of things, which could, of course, be caused by some criminal activity, but it could also
right.
just be accidents.
Certainly. Yeah, we have we do a hazards vulnerability assessment every year for all of our facilities. And those are not only from criminal incidents, but also natural disasters. And I think of the Joplin, Missouri hospital that took a direct hit from an F5 tornado. Because of their training and their preparedness, they were able to evacuate that hospital in 90 minutes without the use of elevators or any power, and end up saving lives because of their preparedness.
Yeah, so you start thinking about the size of a hospital, being able to evacuate any
right,
large building really
right.
in a timely manner is pretty impressive.
But so yeah, our emergency preparedness is a huge piece of what we do from the Public Safety Department.
Mm-hmm. Julie, while you were here on campus, mm-hmm. as you pointed out, there are lots of activities on campus mm-hmm. every day, talks, there are speakers who come in from elsewhere, musical performances, athletic events, even a few presidential candidates
right.
occasionally coming to campus. What about special events do you, or what do you look for in a special event, or how do you view it differently than daily activity?
Well, one of the most important things in that area is having a director of special events that is competent and great at her job, and and the one that we have at IPFW really is. Her concerns center around safety, so having her involved in our safety committee was really important, and then trusting that she and her staff are willing to tell the police department when there is an issue that they have concerns about and not trying to handle it themselves if they don't think that they can or it's not appropriate. So special events do cause a significant change in the way that we police a campus like this at IPFW.
And what happens then to the daily activities? Do they sort of fall by the wayside a little bit? How do you handle that?
I think with the staff that we had at IPFW, it is less traffic enforcement or less getting out into the buildings and kind of concentrating on those areas where the influx of people is. But the important thing is kind of asking ourselves if we need additional staffing for that period of time, and if so, making sure that we have it available. And then again, like Tom said, asking for our local partners. When Bernie Sanders was here, we had a great representation from the Fort Wayne Police Department and other agencies that really made a difference in keeping it secure.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
We usually utilize our officers for various functions. I mean, we've got all kinds of special events, races, runs, Fort for Fitness, Tin Caps games. We have just a broad range, so we usually utilize our officers to work those special events, and Marty Bender, the deputy chief in charge of that, usually governs that and controls as to where people are placed.
And really, we should point out there are so many events going on in Fort Wayne. There is pretty much an event every day.
Yes.
So it is part of your daily experience.
At least weekly.
Yeah. So but they vary in size. You think of something like a Tin Caps game, and that's traffic control. That's making sure that I can cross the street. And then you think about something like Fort for Fitness, and that is basically a whole lot of traffic control and a really long safety concern. Do you get concerned about, you know, the entire run of a 5K or half marathon?
We do, and for parades and things of that nature, sometimes we'll run the canines along the route to see if there's anything suspicious along the route during the run. The baseball game's a little more controlled environment, but when you've got something more spread out, it becomes a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm. And even in the case of the baseball game, it's a partnership because the staff there are checking the bags as we're walking in. That's not something for Fort Wayne PD to do. But do they talk with you beforehand, or do they have their own?
We usually have an officer there at the gates as people are coming in and going in case there's a question or a concern.
WBOI Presents will continue after a short break. Stay tuned.